No time to prepare. Oh, hi, everyone. Sorry.
How's it going, lad?
Didn't see you there. Hello, mate. How are you?
Happy February.
Is that what it is?
Are we in March yet?
Yeah, yeah. Happy almost March. Happy end of Q1 is what's happened just now.
It is. It'll be March. Well, there's how many days are in February this year?
At least 20.
I think 29 this year. And then, so we've got another day. Heard it here first. Welcome to the podcast.
That's
the level of insight and research we have into this content. How many days in February?
Big and fast.
Have you been, buddy?
I'm confused. I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. It was great seeing you on the weekend. Mm. We hung out, families, impromptu.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool, mate. It was really cool.
Rode the steam trains. Things like that always... Rami came up with the kids and... And your wife, or your housemaid, as you call her lovingly. And we rode the trains around Tilden Park. It's basically an old fella's playground. There's trains that you can get in with your kids, and then there's different scale, smaller ones that you like can sit on. But if you look around, all the people maintaining it and running it and all, they're just retired lads who are living their best lives.
Genuinely,
and they've basically got an excuse. They're like, this is brilliant. We can charge people $4 to get on a train, but we get to build the tracks. And they're riding them around on their own, testing the tracks. You know, it's fantastic.
Very good. Whatever floats their boat and gets them out of the house and gives them a legitimate reason to be building those tracks. But how gorgeous it is up there, right? Because it's up on the hills above Berkeley, Tilden Park. It's so nice. 5 minutes from your house and you're in the winding roads looking across the entire bay, the whole city. It's beautiful. It really reminded me of the time
I take it for granted now. I do. But during COVID, when COVID first hit and I would flake up there, before I had a motorbike, when I had a scooter, I'd flake up there in the scooter in 2 minutes. And it was really great to just... Because it was within the whatever miles and all that nonsense. So it was like super easy to do. Flake up onto Grizzly Peaks.
The permitted distance that you're allowed to leave your house.
Yeah, you know, when you're in lockdown. But it was just nice. It was like sunny, views of the city. You really feel like you're outdoors. You are outdoors. You're in the thick of it, you know, in 2 minutes. That's one of the best bits of living in this area.
Super nice.
Yeah.
At the same time, we enjoyed a brunch at a Thai temple with that took me to a street market level. I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah. So there's a Thai temple here in Berkeley, and they don't have any currency, so you have to use tokens and all that stuff.
It's Club Med.
Basically, yeah, Club Med.
Yeah.
But it's great. I love it. But there's a whole strategy. It was fine for us, but it's usually mobbed with students because it's $11 for brunch, which is like a third of the price of a brunch here. And you get a nice big plate of stuff. But the game, there's two lines when you get there. There's actually five lines. When you get there, there's one line to go buy tokens, and that's usually a 20-minute line.
You've beaten that game, mate.
Well, you buy the tokens when you're leaving, and then you have them for the next week. Then there's like five. You have to decide before you get there. You're going in the meat line, the vegetable line, the fried chicken line, the soup line. There's all these different lines. So, you know, the smart ones, you have to be there at 10. You get straight into the meat line because that's the biggest one. You get your meat order, you sit down, everyone else joins you. And then when you're leaving, you buy your tokens for the next time. Job done. Yeah. But this time it was easy. There was not so many people. It was a little bit less exciting.
It was just delightful. I enjoyed the Buddhism of, yes, it's no currency, et cetera, but we will accept Venmo. If you need some tokens, so just
that's don't never to happened.
Scan the
I don't
QR
know.
Code.
That was just a Rami thing. There's no, they don't take Venmo. Anyway,
they had a dedicated guy in the back who was like the grandfather, and he just kind of came out of the shadows and just presented his QR code to me. Didn't say a word.
Yeah.
No exchange. Just scan.
Thanks,
onwards.
Stripe. We can't do anything. That's Stripe. You can't even go to a Thai temple without Stripe being there with transaction fees.
Stripe powers does not power Venmo. Venmo is owned by PayPal, our competitor. But whatever. Details.
I was never great with details.
After two, what I would refer to as the Tay Tay for Tots, the Taylor Swift for under fives, Disney on Ice featuring Elsa.
Yeah.
And this is the second time I've gone to a Disney on Ice show in that same arena. Different format. It was Frozen and Encanto just like back to back. And they did whatever.
Hammered them out. Yeah.
The euphoria, the sheer berserker atmosphere of the under fives in when she belts out the number, when she does the Let It Go number, is just it's electric in that theater.
Are they wearing ear protection and stuff?
No. No, but they are. Well, we can ask. They are wearing Elsa outfits. Everyone's dressed up.
Yeah, everyone's got the same.
Little Elsas. I wasn't wearing one. No, not this time. And it's an incredible. Yeah, like minions of Elsas everywhere. What I was impressed by, though, is that Encanto had a really good running. It was like good music, convoluted plot, especially when recreated on ice, but very like solid. I mean, maybe it was Encanto, the crowd, maybe it was a demographic.
Good number. No, Encanto is a good. I like that. The music.
It's brilliant. I just didn't expect the reception to be as strong, but it was a very strong reception to it. It was very, very
good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt negligent as a dad. Because you were like, oh, come along, you should come to this thing. And I was like, yeah, maybe. Oh, it's a bit of a, we'd nothing planned. But it's just like, oh, it's an effort, isn't it? I was like, I'll buy tickets for next weekend when they're in Salt Lake City next weekend. It's a one weekend thing, you know. I was like, oh, man, I just assumed they were going to be there for a few weeks, you know.
Forever. I think they were there for a few weeks. This is the tail end. Yeah, I think so.
I didn't tell the kids anyway, so they didn't know about it.
Also, don't feel like you're a Disney mainstream family. I feel like you guys do interesting stuff. Good content, different types of books, different types of plays.
No, we're hardline in the Disney, though. They're big into Disney.
Like, really? Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah. I have a slight bone to this. Is definitely not the sort of... strong on heroines, Disney. So old school Disney versus new school.
What?
Old school Disney, not heroine, wrong heroines. The female heroes.
I was like, where are we going?
We're not talking
there's
about...
There's a segue. Let's talk about heroines.
Strong female role models working through every culture, basically, like every vertical.
Yes.
Strong representation, all female leads of new generation Disney. It's just out with the old. It's no longer Prince Charming and, you know, helpless damsel.
Yeah.
So that model, which is also terrible, and there's always, you know, tragedy, etc. New Disney is wall to wall.
Yeah.
Female strong characters from Elsa to Moana to Brave to every single it's Tangled. They're all strong, strong female characters.
I'm so excited to know where you're going to go with this. Yes.
My younger son has started wearing the Elsa dresses.
Okay.
More so than the
oh man. You're feeling that it's like that with all these female leads, you're worried about where does it leave our boys? Is that where you're taking this?
I've got action heroes, Spider-Man and Superman, people who bash people up that he doesn't know, or it's like Aladdin. I can still kind of get, but even that's old school Elsa. You know, there's not modern like Maui. Can I get him dressed up in a Maui? There's not much he gravitates towards with.
But he's just trying to be like his big sister too.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah,
but you see where I'm going. Like, has it become? And this
has it become too much?
Has it gone too far? Clearly not, because it was so bad the other way. So there's nothing.
It's not that it's gone too much. Like, it didn't when it was the other way. Every single girl didn't decide to. Like, I mean, you know, you got to push. I get it. You're a dad. I totally get the conflict. If you have to. 50% steer your kids, like kind of show them the direction and help them and help them figure out life. 50% let them discover it themselves. That's 100%. But there's definitely, I guess, there's 1% somewhere that is irrational. You get old school thoughts. You get, you know, there's a lot of what your parents said or the way you were raised and all that stuff in the background as well. That you got to be like. Make sure, like, figure out how you feel about it, you know.
Yeah,
because
I don't know how I feel about it. Other dresses, which is great.
Yeah,
and she's in all sorts of other stuff, but on us.
Yeah.
How much fairy tales impacted us? How much stereotyping, be it gender stereotyping or otherwise, but not even about gender, just romance and harrowless romantic stories.
You soak it all up.
It's all such a fabric in it. And franchises like Disney, they are culture for a chunky.
Yeah.
You know, I remember their stories when I was a kid and how much that formulates. I don't know. Yeah. It's outsized impact, right? It's beyond.
It is. It is, and Disney's getting a lot of hate, right? I mean, there's a lot of they've put themselves in the position where they become political about it in terms of, you know, they've put themselves, they're not taking a passive stance on this stuff. I mean, but things that some people are getting in, like, you know, The Little Mermaid was, they you know, you went for a you know, a strong black female lead instead of a red-haired, pale-skinned, you know, it's like, it's a mermaid. It doesn't exist. It's not like, why are you getting annoyed about the... No, but for something like that, I didn't get it, because I was like, that's not even a... It's not like, you know, like, I don't know. Why would you get so annoyed about a fictional being, even? Like, it's not like, what the race of a you know,
I'm not sure I get the backlash. I mean, I get the Ariel, maybe just because I think there's a corner of the ecosystem that's just a bit nasty. But I think for me, it's the flip to all female heroines and all going cross cultural, cross demographic. Each one was
Ghostbusters. The line they crossed the line when they recast Ghostbusters all female cast.
No. I don't think it's line cross. It was just an observation. I was like, it's high. Mm-hmm. I was trying to find a hero for the maybe.
There is an argument that we're due 50 years of that before, and then we'll find steady. I mean, if it is a sine wave, you know, there is. But I mean, hopefully, we find center faster.
I'm
not sure how I feel. So I guess it's easy. I'm a dad of two girls, and I think, like, I'm very, you know, I guess it's easy.
It's great to have them.
Yeah. So, like, I guess it's easy for me to sit here and be like, you know, it's kind of good it flips the other way for a while, because I want my girls to grow up to be strong women, you know. Totally. So, but on the, you know, wearing, you know, your son wearing dresses and stuff, and I know you don't have a major issue, but my, it always comes down to me, like, are they happy, are they healthy, like, and you know, we've had, I know it does for you too, but it's like, nothing else really matters. All the rest of it is all just conditioning and perception, and I won't do you, because I'm not assuming it's you, but for me, when I've dealt with this stuff, like, there's been stuff where, like, my elder daughter was exploring the they them thing, or, like, you know, just, you know, that was all being taught at school, she was trying to figure it out, and I wasn't expecting myself to have a reaction to it, but I did, and I was like, she's my little girl, and she's trying to explore this, and I was like, I have to steer her, and I have to, like, you know, but a lot of that was because, like, my perception that it might be harder to go a different than traditional path. Like, I'm like, you know, you have to, it's perception, and society's a real thing.
Yeah, you want an easier life for them. You don't want a harder life. Is it?
But at the end of the day,
I'm not accusing Elsa of doing anything. No. Like, that's not where we're going right now.
I know.
That's not where it was. It was more the practicalities of he can't fit into the dresses.
Oh, it's the practicalities. Come on. Come on.
And then now finding over her dress. It's very, there's,
no,
there's
I, some, okay.
You know,
I'll get off my soapbox. I just meant that this is not you, but me, I have thought about this stuff as it's come up, and it always, you know, what, at the end of the day, it is, if they're happy and healthy, that's all you're rooting for. So who cares? They'll figure out their own path, you know? So anyway.
No question. Resilience is probably the thing that's, I feel like, enough parenting books now has got me into resilience is actually the thing you want, because happiness comes from resilience. But, like, I'm not going to quabble on the details anymore.
What are you doing with resilience? I agree with you. How are you toughening up your kids and making them resilient?
I'm turning down the thermostat by 2 degrees every night until it's at about 40 degrees Celsius Fahrenheit. And then taking away blankets and duvets. And summer pajamas during winter. That's where I'm going. I'm going for hard.
I've been annoyingly congratulating my kids for doing hard things. Out hard things. To my wife. Like, I mean, in an obvious way. Like, in the only way. You know.
Oh,
like,
no,
you saw my elder pulling out her tooth the other. We sent you the video. She pulled her tooth out. But we've been like, you know, you did it yourself. You did it. And look what you can do.
You basically threw an Indian wedding for that occasion. It was amazing. Yeah. The amount of backflips to avoid saying well done and I'm happy.
You're so smart. But instead effort, saying you worked so hard.
Effort, praising. Oh, my God. We get stuck in. So we tie ourselves in knots praising effort. And then we look at each other. We catch each other. And we go, no, effort. Focus on the effort.
Effort. And reflect back. See how hard you tried. You didn't do it at first, but then you
and like the kids just tell me, is this the most beautiful painting ever? it doesn't matter what I think. It's and it was just
do you like it? And did you put a lot of work into it? Yeah.
So in total, there is definitely a solid. This is kind of adjacent to this, but there's definitely a backlash to the soft parenting. I was just listening to a podcast. Barry Lewis had a professional on. I think it's called Bad Therapy. And there's a really like strong steel man argument against a lot of the gentle parenting, positive parenting stuff. That's really interesting. Really like all the social emotional learning that's going through schools here and so on.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. That's for another podcast.
We're going to mess our kids up in just different ways than our parents messed us up. That's
the exact
all.
Opposite.
It'll
way.
Just be different. We don't even know exactly what we don't know what it'll be, but it'll be something different. So.
That's exactly. But one of the interesting things was that the reason that this generation is going so hard, our generation is going so hard on the social emotional learning, is because the previous generation had. You know, divorce rates were peaking. Yeah. There was lots of non availability. There was a particular kind of authoritarian, etc. And we basically, you know, we want to avoid hardship for our children as much as possible. And so we want to lean into being available and avoiding any trauma, making sure wrap them in cotton wool and avoid
helping,
them having
and
any
helping
trauma.
Talk through every trauma and helping help.
Be aware of it, aware of it, and so on. Yeah. And that's that impulse is perverted. Like you don't want to be wrapping them in cotton wool, but the idea that we want to be super present and pour every waking hour to make sure we're there and
they have to experience heartbreak and that's a different heartbreak for a 5-year old is different to heartbreak for like heartbreak for my 7-year old this weekend was she was going to her first sleepover. Let me tell you about this.
Oh man.
She was going to her first sleepover. Her buddy was having a 5 kids over to sleep the night, her first one, and they figured it out a month ago. This was arranged actually about 6 weeks ago that this sleepover was going to be happening this Saturday or this Friday night. It was going to be Friday night. And we were having countdowns. It was on the calendar. We marked
all big event.
Off.
Big event.
Monday morning, 5:30 a.m. 5:30 in the morning, she came into the room. She goes, Dad, is the sleepover tonight? And I said, no, not for another 5 days. And she said, oh, I haven't packed yet. Should I pack now? And I was like, no, we've time to pack. You'll be fine. Great. All week, the countdown, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday, we get a note home from school that there's lice and pink eye in her class.
Oh, my God.
Friday morning, she wakes up with pink eye. Bless her. And pink eye is one of those things that if you get the antibiotics in, it's 24 hours. You're not contagious 24 hours after you put them in. Had she got it any other day in the week, Thursday or Saturday, but it arrived Friday morning, so she couldn't go to the sleepover. Oh. So, and she told me, she's like, Dad, my eye's itchy. My eye's really itchy. I looked at her and I said, love, I think you've pink eye. And she goes, what does that mean? And I said, you can't go to the sleepover if you've pink eye. And she just took it on. But like, I was like, She took it. She was sad.
That's awesome.
But she was like, I was
That's
okay, we're doing a
That's
good
awesome.
Job here.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
she
yeah.
Can
you,
take,
you can deal with that.
I think I would have lost my... She was that excited about it. Like, I can't, you
it's
know...
Christmas, cancelling Christmas.
Yeah.
I love the idea that you didn't just brush her under the rug as well. I would have been tempted to go... I didn't hear anything. You didn't tell me anything. Let's just let's carry
just don't,
on. I'll
don't tell your
way.
Mom.
Just
don't tell your mother. Don't tell your mother.
Don't test. Don't tell. Just go. Just go to the sleeper. Put a pirate patch on and push through it.
Anyway, as it turns out, she was not the only one. There was one other kid of the 5 who had pink eye. So 2 of the 5 missed the sleepover because of pink eye. So it wasn't as bad in the end.
So your daughter and he went for a separate sleepover by themselves. The pink eye sleepover.
It was 5 girls from the same class going to have a sleepover. So yeah, it was. Anyway, we're at that stage. We're at that stage now where it's sleepovers.
I love the idea of sleepover. I also love the idea of ours are weaponizing birthdays. My kid's birthday is 6 months out, and the school every single day I hear threats where if you don't give me this painting, I'm not going to invite you to my birthday. And all of them are weaponizing their own birthdays as a thing. I'm like,
that's
how
hilarious.
Can this? All meaning
well,
is
the
lost.
Birthdays down there are bigger, so I would say that it is a bigger threat, given that there's clowns and
everyone
no,
gets
but
a free
I mean, the
car.
Entertainment, just the bubbles, just the balloon figurines alone are just different level than the types of birthdays we go to here. There's hardly any hemp at yours or any of the like. You know what I mean? Tie dye to a minimum down in Palo Alto.
Zero tie dye. Hardly any hemp. That's excellent. The woke agenda. Wow.
Yeah.
Which I don't like saying because it sounds
very.
There.
Wow, well, you are really going for it this episode.
Well, because it's like it leads me from Disney to Google, obviously, because that's been the talk of the last week. Did you follow this Gemini Pro 1.0? Did you follow the Black Nazi thing?
Yes.
It was hard to miss Black Nazis, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I followed, and that there was a bit of an overcorrection with Gemini in turn. Tell us all about it.
Are you there? I'm here. I would tell a little breakdown. So, I mean, amazing sequence of events, because let's flash back to the Thursday after. This all happens in the space of a week. Thursday before, Google comes out and says, finally, this thing that we've been promising, like amazingly branded, this thing called Bard is now called Gemini. At the same time, we're releasing a new model called Gemini Pro 1.5. Also, by the way, Google Gemini for Business is now Gemini for Enterprise. And like, there's a whole bunch of rebranding discussions that we can go down to Google. And it's
because they all rushed. They rushed out Bard and all that stuff over a weekend because they were like, what happened? OpenAI did something. We better just create all these offerings. And then now they've had a chance to be like, how do we prioritize this stuff?
I'm not sure they fixed it with like that aside, like branding idiosyncrasy aside. Thursday, they finally released Gemini Pro 1.5, and lo and behold, it's solid. Like, the benchmarks are amazing.
Yeah,
it's really competitive with the latest of the GPTs. And more importantly, it has, for the first time, this incredible token length of 1 million tokens, previously the highest of the 128K tokens. And the length of the tokens basically means that you can ingest full video without any text transcript, full hours worth of video, and pinpoint precision. Show me the scene that where there was a red hat and it was on a donkey and it was walking backwards in the desert, and what was, you know, how many legs does the donkey have? And it will pull that out, you know, in multimodal precision across huge amounts of content because you can feed them. Long story short, huge kudos, amazing, really exciting. Google back in the game, everyone got excited. Within 2 hours, OpenAI drops their first text-to-video creator, Sora, and it creates a minute's worth of the most incredible, essentially take Midjourney, which is beautiful, high-fidelity, artistic, like beautiful corpus they've been able to use, and into a not just moving, but like a full cinematic sequence for a minute's worth based on a text prompt. And Sam Altman's just there on Twitter fielding requests to give me a prompt and I'll show you what it looks like, because you all aren't in the demo yet. Just steal the thunder from Google, why don't you? Within the day, don't even give them like...
There was no thunder stealing, though. I mean, well, I don't think, besides you, nobody was excited about Gemini.
No. The 1 million token was sweeping the developer ecosystem. Everyone was, all the stats, obviously it wasn't consumer grade kind of demo, but it was...
Yeah,
I think it changed the hearts and minds of, okay, this is legitimate. Mm. This is a big breakthrough.
Mm.
2 days later, you start seeing this. Hey, I put in who were the founding fathers of the US, and it's show me images, Gemini, of the founding fathers of the US, and you got back these images of not the founding fathers of the US, but also not even close to being the founding fathers of the US. There were Asian women, there was African men. They were clearly
representative.
Were clearly the exact opposite of the founding fathers of the. Mm-hmm. And so people started writing more queries. Show me examples of what Nazis used to look like, or show me examples of white XYZ. What were some of the other great ones? Basically, images of people, historical, real figures that Gemini would then take and return as clearly like diverse equivalents of them.
Wow.
And not real.
Yeah.
Which is alarming. But then it just kept on going. This thing spiraled. It just lost. It took Google 3 days to shut down the image generation. It took them another 2 days to write a blog post to apologize for it. And then yesterday actually did an internal memo apologizing to his Google, but also written as though it's going to be externalized because he never writes anything that's not going to be shown externally. And it's just been this weak saga cycle.
Can I summarize Google's three AI launches in the last 12 months? One, they came out with Bard, and the marketing example they gave in the video was wrong. Asked a question, and they gave the wrong answer, was one of the three that they used in the video. And they had to come out and apologize and say, sorry, we kind of rushed this thing.
That's right.
Step two was at their one of their dev days, whatever the open day thing was, where they announced Duet and all those amazing things that they were adding on to their workspace stuff. But they created that video with the famous blue rubber duck, and it was like,
we loved this, it. Like, it was short amazing. 3 minutes.
It was fake. We waxed lyrical on here. We're like, this is the next generation. It's playful. There was a playfulness to us. There was like, it gets humor. It understands context. No, they'd cut out a bunch of prompts in the meantime. They had set up questions in a certain way that like of these three things, which thing is it? You know, that like all that was all cut out, and it was nowhere near as good as they said, and it was all docked. doctored. And they had to come out and apologize and say, yes, well, here's the full video. And it was like a 40-minute video, and it was rubbish. Yep. And now they've come out now with their Gemini 1.5. We need to rebrand. Let's do something. Let's clean this off. Gemini Pro 1.5. And they've had to come out again. And it's just like, how many times can Google get this wrong? You know?
Yeah.
I guess a bunch of times. They've got enough funding. But like, it really does feel like it's almost a meme now that they'll launch something and then 3 days later it's going to be not that thing. Yeah. It's going to be fake. Yeah. You know?
There's so much coming at Sundar's head right now. There's so much thought leaders going, he has to go, he has to go, he has to go.
Yeah.
It's happened.
Yeah.
On the plus side, you're right. I think they've got plenty of armory to keep going and get it right.
Yeah.
On the plus side, the actual core model and the core development, like a million token model that's competitive with ChatGPT-4 is brilliant.
I'm not getting excited about a million tokens. When they release something that if I can play with it and it's a real thing, I'm not going to get excited about a million tokens.
Yeah. It's fine. And what you're going to see, the applications built on top of it, I think, are going to be amazing.
Sure.
And they are in it to keep making mistakes and correct those mistakes along the way. And I think that's a different Google to the one that got caught kind of pants down, which immobile, we're not going to do anything until it's perfect. Now they've kind of maybe gone a bit too far the other way. Do a little bit of quality control. Do a little bit of checking on some basic kind of quick, maybe. Or if you notice that someone's injected a prompt to make sure that it returns diverse things about historical people with white.
Just a quick question. Do we need this one?
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, like always still clearly long, like very bullish on their ability to be able to do it.
Fine for Google in the end. But I feel like they're the brand. Well, they're becoming the Android of AI again. You know, they're like they're going to be the, well, they're not Android, but
they're not even Android.
Yeah, they're not even Android. Yeah.
I think they're not there yet, the problem, but look, they're still sitting on a cloud platform and that's the story. The story here is APIs to cloud for B2B. Yeah. Everyone else builds the actual products and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
And like Azure has OpenAI, AWS needs to get someone, and then that's the story. It's not consumer based pricing, right? AI is not for consumer products yet.
Speaking of any sort of pricing or any context, and sticking with OpenAI, $7 trillion. So we've gone into the trillions. We're not even talking billions anymore.
Oh yeah.
Tell me about $7 trillion for chips and taking on NVIDIA.
That was how much Sam Altman, OpenAI former YC Combinator lead, OpenAI's current CEO, who was unemployed for a hot 3 days last year. How much he's looking to raise?
$7 trillion
to take on NVIDIA and China with chips for AI.
$7 trillion he wants to raise.
Just a casual GDP of most nations.
I think it's twice. What was the statistic? It was like it's twice Britain's GDP.
NVIDIA itself has gone from a market cap. When it got to 1 trillion, that's insane. And it just peaked over 2 trillion once it has the rally, when it had rally and it just reported its earnings, holding up the entire stock market, as it were. 7 trillion seemed like a joke number, didn't it?
7 trillion. When you're talking trillions, and you're talking trillions, sometimes people say, what's the total addressable market, the TAM? You say, what's your TAM for that? And you're like, 7 trillion. You're like, well, that's a big, silly number.
Yeah.
But what are we going to go after? But like to be saying the investment, the front end bit, you know, and VCs want a 2x return minimum. So we're saying, who's going to give you, I mean, where are you going to get, how do you even, governments, well, I mean, the whole world.
Funds.
Yeah, sovereign funds. Governments. And then it's bad, which is why he was getting in trouble.
He was going to Saudi Arabia, right? That was the story.
Not only do they want golf and tennis, now they want ChatGPT as well. They want everything over there. It's going to be
Formula One. Yeah, we're going to get taken down, aren't we, for this point?
Is this a risky one? Are we being too loose? I don't know. You're going to be editing it, so you can figure out what stays in or not.
I'm going to ask Gemini if what's controversial and ask it to just delete the bits that are problematic.
Saudi Arabia has won the golf battle and tennis now this week, and I think that's fair.
They've got money, they can do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Free market. I feel like Sam also the dice about Sam Altman, I quite enjoyed this during the week where Reddit filed for their S1. So Reddit, the famously, well, I don't know, you told me. I think amongst those things that Sam Altman is one of the original investors, as Reddit was an OG kind of YC company. So he stands to earn something like $430 million out of the Reddit S1.
Nothing to anything.
And someone goes, "Wow, it's really nice that he finally got a break. He's just finally something went his way. It's really sweet."
Yeah, it's people rooting for him.
Really, just so happy for him. He finally did his
deserves it.
Why are people not happy with the Reddit S1?
I don't know. I just read that people are really disappointed that Reddit's gone public. So I don't know what the deal is.
They're planning on going public. I mean, the first social platform to go public in 7 years. It's a snap. It's been quite a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's notionally a sin stock. Like, Reddit has a lot of adult content. Famously had a lot of adult content, and they managed to make sure that's in one corner of it, and they've got moderators.
It's not one corner. It's everywhere, because anything niche, anything you bring, absolutely everything brought to, like, the human extreme is some fetish. Like, it is. It's like, there's a fetish for everything. There is.
I like that.
I heard. A friend of mine told me. Someone wise once said that. Not me, though. No, but it is. It's all over Reddit. Reddit's terrifying.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
you go through Reddit. If you read Reddit for any period of time, you're like, oh, God, we're in real trouble. You know, this is not going to end well.
One part that I have enjoyed, though, is because it came out, that it was an opportunity for people to bring back the best Reddit threads, the most ridiculous Reddit threads that get passed around. And they're just great. They're just, it's vintage online. It is the definition of being on the internet.
I get lost on Reddit, though. It's worse than Google or worse than YouTube in terms of, like, rabbit holes. Like, you're like, what? Wait, what is this thing?
Who's that
guy? Oh my God, what is this thing? You know, and then you're down and you're like, what am I reading about? You know? Yeah. Yeah.
12 threads.
Yeah. And then you click and you're like, wait, I'm in this, like, subreddit about, and I'm like, I don't even know how I got here. Yeah. Right? I don't know what the line of thought was that brought me here, and I was part of it.
100%. That's exactly how it works. And that's why they're filing for IPO.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. Yeah. We need it. Anyway, you look wiser. You look more mature.
I've got more gray hairs. I've got this little cowlick at the back over here.
You had another birthday.
Another one.
Good for you, buddy.
Fair dinkum.
Another one.
I'm not having, like, number of birthdays compared to other people.
You're having them at a more frequent rate than I am.
Do you think so? I'm having them more than once a year.
Well.
Or just like leap year type based.
Tell me all the, always
older and wiser.
Tell me all the stuff you got.
It's great on the other side. All the stuff I got was, I'm enjoying birthdays for
you
the
get
stuffness.
A lot of, you get, so Rami notoriously doesn't buy himself stuff.
I don't do stuff.
He's married to someone who buys, like, that's how you show love, is buy lots of stuff. And every year you get all the new stuff, big gift givers, like big expensive bikes and like one wheels and Pelotons and like, so we're talking big things.
What happens is that was my 40th, for what it's worth. But like the story is, you know, what's your list? And I'm like, well, here's my list. And then they go between, you know, my wife's family, my family, and then they each kind of cohort groups and then get stuck.
I love it.
And so, you know, we caught up. So we've got the Ray-Bans. And we had some listeners of the podcast who were like, I really hope you get the Ray-Bans that you're anchoring. I'm like, we got them. So I'm caught up and I'm out there. And it is not quite the same level of life-changing, I feel like you described. I'm not as heavy as
Did you watch my video?
I commented on it that I don't like Meta, is what I did. I commented on it a lot. I was there just spamming it with all my bot accounts.
You were the 800 and something comments or whatever. Yeah,
correct.
Just rammy. Yeah. Different profiles.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Did you watch the video or not? Do you disagree? No. So you don't know. Oh, you're talking about when I gave you direct feedback.
You gave me direct feedback that it was life-changing, particularly through the assistant, but I'm not
you're
as heavy
not even
assistant
wearing
user.
Them now, so. No, it's
nighttime and I've got sunglasses. I'm not going to wear sunglasses.
Oh, that's right. You went for the sunglasses.
So I went for the sunglasses, which is brilliant for my walking, running, video, work calls, all of that sort of thing. So playing with the kids outside, taking photos, etc. It just not as much AI usage, but
it is
clearly a modality.
Yes.
Clearly a modality of the future.
Yeah.
And Apple could easily eat their lunch.
Oh, yeah.
Because
anyone could.
Specifically Apple, because I'm on an iPhone and the integration of all of the stuff that you do with AirPods. They're much closer to AirPods than they are to anything else.
Boom.
They're essentially AirPods with cameras. Agreed. And I think you've got to be deeply integrated in the system.
Put the media has to go AirPod, straight. Job done. Yeah.
The media needs to go to the media files. You can't have this intermediate app where you have to import blah, and boom, all of your notifications and iMessage, etc., needs to be as native as an AirPod. I think it's clearly the ecosystem will eat its lunch, and it's clearly a modality that should exist because there's real value to it. There's real value there.
And it's intuitive. As soon as you put them on, you're like, oh, yeah, this just makes everything easier, doesn't it? Yeah.
Real value there. You don't have to take stuff out. It's always bilateral. I don't have to do it on one side only.
Yeah.
It really does show you like how bad Siri has been the whole time, because you've basically had it minus the camera this whole time.
Yeah.
And that Siri has just
Siri's dropped. Getting better though in March. We're finally getting some AI into Siri March, apparently. Yeah.
Well, especially if the 2,000 people who were working on Titan, Apple's electric car project, all got put on AI.
The thing got shut down. Yeah.
They've gone, you know what, Rivian's failing, Lucid's in trouble, Tesla's gonna, you know, we don't need EVs anymore. Even Ford has punted its EV line. Apple's gone, we're on the same boat.
I was 15 months out. Rivian's decline I predicted, Siri's AI I predicted. We have to go back to that one. If we play that episode and we just pretended I did it this January instead of last, he's pretty astute.
Bankruptcy. You didn't quite predict.
We're not there reduction. Yet. There's 10 months ahead of us yet. Come on.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Apple's entire electric car division or self-driving car. It's unclear. You assume it's electric. 2,000 all go to JG's Org and AI.
Well, no, not all of them. Some of them are going to the Vision Pro. Some of them, they're being dispersed, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But question. What was the other thing? You got Meta Ray-Bans.
We've got the Ray-Bans. Quest 3. We've got Quest 3.
Boom. And did you hint at the Vision Pro or did you just say VR headset, wink, wink, and they got you the cheap
what I
one?
Did, and for the same reason I ended up with this sauna box, it's the $300 version of the $3,000 sauna. Is that I provided a list of tiered options. So in the VR space, here are the options.
Okay.
In the sauna space, here are the options. And so, you know, you can cherry pick.
So there was no one was going to invest in a $4,000. Did you have anything besides the Vision Pro?
I had the XR Airs, you know, AR glasses like the ones you reviewed. Yeah, I had those in there as an example.
Yeah.
Look, I was never going to get a $4,000. It had to be I had to earn it on Robinhood or something.
But you said you were going to buy it if you didn't get it for your birthday. I would consider it. Okay.
And the main motivator was that you had put it on your fridge and then apparently your neck muscles didn't quite hold it up in demo. And so you've taken it off your fridge.
Is my little atrophied neck. Yeah. I've got a 10-pound head and I was like another 1.5 pounds on top of it. Who needs that? You know? No, I just don't. This fridge is brilliant, by the way, for the year of frugality. Turns out anything I want, I don't want after 10 days. So like anything. The only thing that's consistent is an old Porsche 911. That seems to be the only thing that I still always want. I literally don't want any of that stuff.
That's great. What's the trick? Did you think about it when it's on the fridge and go, here's how I imagine life to be with it, and then realize it's no different?
Yeah, well, it's not that. I'm like, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. I'm not thinking about anything else except how much I want it. And then like on like day 7 or 8, I'm like, yeah, what would I use it for? Oh, or what's the alternative thing I've been doing? Or what's the like, oh yeah, that's not so bad. With the Vision Pro, I was like, I actually don't know what I would use it for. It's cool. I really want it. I want to be part of the future and this is a great time to be alive. But then I was like, yeah, but I don't want it that much. And I demoed it. Almost demoing it is almost enough to scratch the itch. Like, it's a bit dangerous. I think if you can tighten the buy cycle between demo and buy, if they can do something like there's a discount after a demo and it's only valid for a day or something.
Just a pop-up discount, right?
Buy. But like, if you got 2 weeks to think about it, you're like, actually, this thing's going to be just like the other one and sit in the shelf, you know?
If everyone has a fridge. I hear you about the itch post-demo, but I had that feeling. I was like, okay, got it. I don't need it because I'm not a content creator or a content consumer that much. But then that feeling of needing to be in it and it really wellowed back up. But from a consumption point of view, I'm not. I would have thought from your YouTube amount of consumption, amount of creation, editing, etc. There's so many use cases that are coming along. But look, I have no doubt.
But the reality is I'm not editing anymore. You edit this podcast. I pay someone to edit my YouTube. I don't consume that much anymore, like as in compared to at the peak. So like it is, the, you know what I keep thinking about? It'll be amazing if you're on a flight. Like, yep, it is perfect for a flight. But yep, Jack, $4,000, you could
to
actually
make
just
the flight better.
Having a business class flight to Ireland for just that return, you know?
Upgrade.
So, yeah.
Again, I still stand by, there's no point, there's no world where you won't have a version of it sooner rather than later.
Right.
But it may not be this exact one right now.
That's right.
A
it
lot
needs
of it's
to get
the
smaller
ecosystem
and more integrated and, yeah.
Which we missed that chat as well, where Zuck came out. Did you see the Zuck video?
Yeah. Oh, did we not talk about that even?
Oh, the Zuck video was amazing.
Yeah.
And look, yeah. So Zuck comes out and does a straight-to-camera vertical video, him sitting on his couch, on his humble couch down there in Palo Alto.
It's not straight-to-couch. It's not a vertical video.
It's
because
straight to Quest 3.
It's an awkward angle as well. He's like slightly down in the corner. Like he's like it's like he's basically in the lower third, and he's like, hey. And then, and like the big reveal is this is actually being shot on a Vision Quest Pro. It's like nobody doubted it. Like as in, if you said either somebody's holding a phone from the 90s, and it's like somebody who's never used a phone before, or you've asked and it flashes over to this guy sitting there rigidly because he's so not afraid to move. It's like, we know it's being shot on a Vision on an Oculus because it's rubbish.
It's pretty bad.
But it's the big reveal. Oh, this is actually being shot on. It's like we knew immediately. Yeah.
I love that. His opener is look, I tried on the Vision Pro. Guys, I tried it on. And you know what? Before going in, I thought it was going to be a really, you know, really good thing. But very high value, and you know, Quest 3 was just going to be good value for what it's worth. And by
seven
comparison,
times more expensive,
yes,
so
kept on repeating seven times. But you know what? Coming out of it, I think Quest 3 is not just better value, but it's actually the
better
thing
headset
overall.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh man, what a load of BS. The poor guy, he copped so much flack. And like, there was definitely two schools of thought. There was definitely the, it's amazing to have a CEO who's in the weeds, who's doing a YouTube review. Like, I wanted affiliate links to the Vision Pro on his link. He's doing his own marketing. He's doing a vertical review, and he's like taking it to Vision Pro.
Yeah.
On the other hand, like, totally misses it, right? He's talking details of hand tracking, and we can put eye tracking back on, guys, and it'll be fine. There was a level of desperation.
We actually removed it, and we had eye tracking in again. You're like,
there's a level of desperation that is just you feel like they've taken all of your, the things that you're working on, the multiple F8 conferences that you held that you said you were winning this thing, you created this, you bought Oculus 10 years in advance, and you still didn't capture the imagination the way Apple did in 2 weeks.
The thing that I thought was the saddest about that was that he tried to appeal to people's sense of good. Like, he was basically, he said, the future's not decided, this race is not won. You know, Apple won, he said, Apple won the iPhone race. They, you know, open versus close. This is the battle, and you vote. You basically vote with your purchasing, and every vote, every time you purchase an Oculus, you vote for open source. And you're just like, you are the guy who leads the company who sold people's data to everyone that was used to manipulate presidential elections. That was used to. It was a big problem with Brexit. Was like you lied to so many people.
Not only that, you were the original closed garden, garden ecosystem versus the internet. You kind of broke the internet in many ways and sent a lot of internet things scurrying. And the Quest system is not open. Show me how it's open. It's like, other than sideloading through some dodgy setup, there's nothing open about it. Like, you've got guardrails and you've got an app ecosystem, and it's very tight. Like, I don't know where you're coming from with this open. And you barely do, like, WebXR very good in the system anyway. And more than anything, he's like, purely from a product point of view, talking about resolution and eye tracking and features, completely misses the point here, which is...
Yeah.
Ecosystem, mate.
Yeah.
Ecosystem. What they have is an ecosystem you don't. They had a million apps out of the gate. They've got developers who are chomping at the bit. They set up the framework to develop with a really nice guides. Like, it's a really well-structured OS that allows people to develop flexibility. There's no equivalent in the entire Quest ecosystem. Missing the core of
it's over.
Of what's making
it's
it
over.
Work.
It's over because that's his only thing. Like, if they pull out the LLM thing, like Llama 2, if this becomes their main revenue generator, which it might, I mean, they could, I don't know. Anyway, So that's the Meta Quest 3. It's good though, right? You like it.
Oh,
it's got it's reasonable
great.
Pass through.
It's great.
And
it's clearly no Vision Pro, but it's great.
Yeah.
Like it reminds you of two things. One, it's a no Vision Pro, but you start seeing some of those use cases. The pass through is reasonable, nowhere near Vision Pro, but you start using you can leave a screen anchored here and I can grab it with my hand and move it in a poorer man's version, but you start having a much more augmented reality feeling. So you start having that spatial computing feeling a lot more with Quest 3 than 2. And the crispness and the quality of the screen versus Quest 2 is way better. But it does remind you that the processing is not as good because it's still roughly the same graphics. It's still polygon, but crisper. So as a result, you kind of feel like it's slightly, but like good field of view and really, it's a good quality. Everyone should have one because it's the right price point that, everyone should it should be available to everyone. It's great. It's a gaming device,
And then the last thing, the sweat pod?
The last thing, amongst other things, I think I've got a couple other things. But yeah,
what
the main thing is
tell me what
sweat
else
pot.
You got besides
I'm
that.
I'm trying
we'll
to remember.
Sweat pot.
No. This is the main. I got a Le Creuset pot for cooking. Longer term things. I think that's the main thing. And this is the sauna box.
I got you a wallet. I haven't given it to you yet, but we talked about it.
How much that must have set you back quite a bit.
Is this? You see, that's the difference in your house. In our house, it's about thoughtfulness, about showing your love and gratitude, and your house about how much you spent. That's what I was saying at the start. It's about showing
you re-gifting. Are you re-gifting something that you were? Is that what's happening right now?
It's not re-gifting.
If you were gifted in the first place.
I was not gifted it. I have probably 30 or 40 wallets right now from different reviews. They're really good, and I'm giving them away to all my mates.
I would love that as a present.
You can pick them out of the box.
The sauna box is basically a rice cooker with a tube into a tent, is how I would describe it.
A rice cooker with a tube into a tent. I'm imagining that smells pretty bad of of like dirty gym wear. Because there's a mix of mildew because it gets hot. Like you have to clean that thing down if you leave moisture in it, if it doesn't dry properly. I'm thinking that thing of a swimming bag where you kind of dried the stuff, but you didn't dry it and you open it up and you're like, oh, it's going to smell like that. I think within a day or two. Yeah.
Luckily they've thought about it. And I've had it for 2 weeks. I've used it about four times. So not quite the four to seven times a week, 20-minute sessions in order to bring my heart disease down 40%. Or all-cause mortality down 40%. So not quite at that rate. I don't care about living that much.
You have to do it for 45-minute sessions if you're going to do that, by the way.
20-minute. 4 to 7 times a week, 20-minute, no?
No, I think it's... I was going by Huberman, and he does 45-minute sessions at 87 degrees or something insane.
The studies were... Okay, details. Well, definitely not getting to 45. But I will say I think they've thought about that. The material works. Look, this is the cheap end of it. This is a $300.
Does it warm your whole garage or does it keep it in the thing?
It keeps it in the thing until I unzip it and then the steam has to go out, but then it goes out the garage very quickly. But for the time that I'm in there, it's very tight.
Do you open the garage door, do you, or does it end up in the ceiling of the garage? You're going to have to remodel the garage now because you've got a $300.
There's a chance there are spores happening in the garage. I've thought of it. So ideally, you'll be outside, yes. In winter, I'm not going to put it outside. But it works, man. And it's... Like the feeling's good, deep sleep is better clearly on the watch.
Really?
I turn the lights off in the garage. It's pure dark, sensory deprivation. I've got AirPods in, the phone outside, AirPods inside. Jam out, pull noise cancellation so I don't even hear the steamer. Jam out to Metallica, scream at the top of my voice. It's like a sensory deprivation chamber.
You're sweating in there because
there's a chair. I'm sitting in a chair in my swimmers, sweating it out,
chair?
I'm drinking water. It's this little director's chair that comes with it.
You get a little director's chair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is it claustrophobic? Like you're sitting in it. It's weird. Yeah. How big is it? What's the footprint of it?
It's right here. It's there. It's there. It's like a. Here's my height. Here's my. And
it's
then you
so
sit in the. What do you mean? It's not
That's
weird.
That's such
weird.
A weird thing to get. I mean,
yeah.
I'm
mean?
A
it's
big.
Brilliant.
And you put it on your list. This is something you wanted.
Yeah. Instagram it works in amazing ways.
Ironic that I'm laughing at you when I've got the cold plunge hooked up to a goldfish tank chiller, but I did something weird about it. There's something nighttime infomercial about it. That's I'm sure it's good, But it does feel like something that you would have bought in the 90s at 2 o'clock in the morning. You get actually two of them, and if you buy it now, you get the scrubbing brush and the extra laser cleaner.
Because there are four brands that have an identical setup with different branding, and each of them come with a free, you know, plunge pool, other
would
sack to fill with cold
it?
Water.
Could we do the pod from it next week?
I was going to do the pod from it this week. Yes, I think we could. It
could you fit two people in there?
Yeah, you could. You could. Standing, for sure. I mean, sitting, for sure.
Sitting two people?
Yeah.
Have you been in there with Caro?
No.
Because you got
kids. I don't think she'd be up for that.
Have the kids been in there?
Once, but not when it's hot. Just like meandered in there.
And it gets good and warm.
It gets nice and warm. 10 minutes and 15 minutes. Steams it in. It's not dry heat. It's sauna. And I haven't done the temp to see how hot it gets. But it can get pretty hot. Enough to sweat it out.
Oh,
enough to
it's
feel
sauna,
the
not steam room. Sauna. Okay, so that's
steam
less
room.
Of a problem. It's a steam room.
It's
gross.
Not dry sauna. It's steam.
That's gross. That's going to wreck your garage.
What's the best bit, though, is that the way that it's clearly, you know, some entrepreneur has gone and spec'd it out from Shenzhen. And then and the unit that's outside is literally a rice cooker that just got reconfigured to have a seal.
With like a hole drilled in the top.
Yeah. Like literally. And so you just fill the main thing and it just has this container that's just heating up. And
tell me the process. It's 3 o'clock and I'm like, oof. I think I'll have a steam room before bed.
In the morning, in the AM.
No, it's 3 o'clock in the 5 o'clock. You're like, tonight before bed, I'm going to steam room.
Yeah.
Tell me what you need to do, the prep. Tell me the process. Like, when do you need, like, how much? You need to go outside, water.
I take this. I've already filled it up with water. I filled it up with distilled water.
You filled it up with water. Tell me about how often do you have to fill it up with water?
I've done four sessions, I haven't had to refill it.
So you go out with a bucket of distilled water.
Distilled water. I
Where do you
use
get
bottles.
The distilled water?
I use bottles from CVS. We also have a carbonated distiller in our house. So I just a bottle of that.
A bottle of water.
Filled it up once. Have not had to refill it. So the last three times.
How big is this thing? It's a small pressure cooker. So there's probably a couple of gallons. Gallon drum.
Yeah,
or something.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Like charitably 4 or 5 gallons, and then from then on, as long as the seal is on, all I do is zip it up. Because I unzipped it at the end of the last one to make sure it airs. And all I do is hit power.
Uh-huh.
Hit power. And it's on.
Yeah.
And then within 10 minutes, the seam will start filling. And then within another 5 minutes, it's hot enough to be in there. You can be in there any time, but reasonable time. So within 10, 15.
And tell me the getting into it process when it's full of steam. You give it the
zip. You've got to quickly shuttle. You've got to unzip it quickly so you don't let the steam out too quick. And then you've got to get in there and you've got to zip it back up and you're good to go. It's trivial.
And then 5 minutes later, it's steamy again. It's like
it catches up. It's steamy immediately. Look, the main question I have is, how's it different to a hot shower? I think that's where I got to, where I'm like, I could spend 20 minutes in a hot shower on like slightly hotter. Wouldn't that get to the... And I think that the steam retention is a key part of it. So there's a really like... It is definitely hotter.
The steam.
Yeah.
Steam's a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's real.
So the sauna is 45 minutes. So the steam room might be different. The 45-minute thing I said was sauna. I don't know anything about steam room.
We'll find out how different it is.
It's probably good for your skin and all that, is it? Do you
all
find
it,
your
the
skin
pores,
is better?
The congestion, the sleep is clearly better.
Yeah.
Like the muscle. It's a solid setup.
Would you prefer a sauna or a steam room if you had a choice of a setup in your backyard? Would you pick a sauna? Would you pick a steam room?
No, I would go for a dry sauna. I love it. Like the dry sauna, I think, is much
and
more.
And the smell of the coals and the rock, the wood, the smell
of
the
smell.
Yeah,
like all
the
wood, exactly. All that sort of stuff. Yeah. I think it's a different type of sweat. I think it's a really, the dry stuff is good.
Yeah.
I also did I tell you about the cryogen? I went to the cryogen chamber as well. That was the other thing I did for my birthday. Oh,
nice. What
went
did you do?
This guy was brilliant.
Do you freeze yourself?
Yeah, into cryogen. So you go to Safeway and then you turn left. And behind Safeway is a guy who's got a shop.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And the shop has one of those banners. He's literally tapped into the fridge on the back of Safeway. I'm pretty sure he's got his own fridge.
Uh-huh.
And you walk in there and he gives you mittens and you know, whatever, boots.
Socks
and like slippers. And you walk in there and you mask so you can breathe a bit better. And it's like 3 minutes, let's go and I'll show you. And he does a temperature gun, gets my body temperature before it and then so it dropped 60 degrees Fahrenheit or something. And it's a chiller. It's an
Your
absolute
body
chiller.
Temperature
for the first
dropped.
Minute, two, no problem. By the third minute, ice is forming on my hairs and the whole thing. I'm in a fridge. I'm straight up.
Was it hard?
Only the last 30 seconds where I started to feel like things were biting. And where it was biting was where I had inflammation, where I've got like injuries and like muscles are inflamed. You can definitely feel it biting. And then he goes, oh, no problem. If you that's I can do focus therapy. And then he gets out an ice gun, so connected to a nitrogen tank, and a gun that has both the temp, so he can see this infrared where my inflammation is on the arm, and then just iced it. Basically, like, froze a part of the arm. It was great. Great for a couple of days. Works really well.
That's mad.
Yeah. It's really
good. Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He does it. I'm into reduce inflammation with some cold therapy.
You should get a cold plunge. You'd love it.
I've had one sitting right there. I just need to fill it up and put it in the backyard and leave it cold overnight.
Did you get one for your birthday?
I mean, it just came with this. It was like a 2-for-1. So it's like a little with a lid.
No, yeah, they don't give you a little cold plunge as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to try it, lad. Have you not tried my one? You haven't?
No, I haven't. I mean,
I think you'd love it. I really think you'd. It's a game changer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All I need to do is fill it up with water and put it in my backyard. So overnight, it's cold enough. I'll just get back in. I'll get it in the morning or whatever.
Yeah, do it.
That's all I need.
Do it. You have to be careful with the kids with those ones, just because in case they fall in and stuff.
There's a bit of that, and there's a bit of when I have to drain it. Where's it? Anyway, we'll make that work.
Yeah, yeah, faff. Yeah. Nah.
There's a little tiny bit of faff.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Yeah. Good talking to you, lad. It's been a pleasure.
Too, you too.
Sorry we haven't chatted for a month. That was my fault. It's been 3 weeks at least. A month probably, is it?
It's been not that long, but a little while. A little while. Yeah. It's okay, mate. Things happen.
Yeah. Real life. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's all right. Yeah. I would like to talk about the Tesla Roadster next time we chat, and it having SpaceX rockets attached to it to get it to zero to 60 under 1 second. Under 1 second.
See, just silliness now. Now we're just getting to the point where you're just like that's just, that's silly, isn't it? That's silly. Stop that.
Irresponsible, dangerous. Stop.
I mean, it's already irresponsible, dangerous. If you can accelerate a truck to in 60 in 4 seconds.
Yeah,
you're like,
a steel truck.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, come on, man. Yeah.
Stop.
That's me. Yeah, just stop it. Stop it.
Stop that.
All right, lad. Good talking to you.
Right back at you, man.
Talk to you later. Good luck. Bye.
Later.
Bye.